Thank you. I first want to introduce Amy Bittrich. She's my associate from Wisconsin. Hi, Amy. She was the driving force behind this innovation, so I want to thank her before we dive into the actual application. A little history. I'm sure you all remember the West African Ebola outbreak 2014. CDC's guidance was to monitor travelers returning to the U.S. from the affected countries. Some states had it more difficult than others, Georgia more than most. They, at the peak, had to monitor 130 travelers, a total of 1,300 travelers over the course of the outbreak. Conversely, Wisconsin had 280 travelers or contacts to monitor over the 17 months. So after everything was said and done, we had the privilege to see a presentation of Georgia's response to this. They developed an enhancement to their system that allowed the users, the travelers, to have user accounts and to log in and self-report. You can see a screenshot from their system. It's very intuitive, easy to use. There's one major difference between Georgia's system and Wisconsin's system. Georgia's system was built on the NEDS-based system. Wisconsin's is a proprietary software system. You couldn't just pick up that enhancement and plop it down on Wisconsin's system and expect it to work. But we looked at it a little deeper, and we found that WEDS could accomplish a lot of the same functionality that Georgia did with their enhancement. We had a lot of similarities and quite a few of the same limitations. If you look at the list, you know, both systems had to be web-based. Both systems, you had to have an internet access. Both systems had to create a username and password for the contacts to log in and report their symptoms. And the list goes on. So why create a new application if we could do the same things with our system? Well, we configured WEDS to actually perform some of these functions, and we determined that if the roles were reversed, if Wisconsin had over the 1,300 contacts to monitor, the burden on the WEDS admin staff who create all the users in the system, there's two admin staff, two backups, would be overwhelming, particularly in the light of their job supporting the Bureau of Communicable Disease in the case of a large outbreak. Then the training for these new public users of the system would have to be delegated down to the local health departments, and they had a lot more to do than train Joe Public on how to use a surveillance system. And then lastly, WEDS notification of communicable disease is very robust. We can notify public health nurses if there's a new case, if they have a lab result over a specific value. But we couldn't notify when somebody failed to report. So we got a bunch of smart people in the room, smarter than me, and we started discussing the requirements of the system. And somebody came up and said, well, why do we even have to let them log in? We could email them a link. And it moved us down the track of automating the whole process of data collection. So we could email the contact a link. In that link could be an expiring token. So during their reporting window, if they failed to report, the link no longer worked. And then when they clicked on that link, we could present a form to allow them to fill in the form and collect the data, and then import that data into WEDS. Now, WEDS has a lot of utilities, and one of those is a very robust import API. So we could use that functionality and bring that data in. And lastly, since we're sending out that email, we know who we sent that to. And then we can track if they fail to report. There are some preconditions that we had to have in place. We used another utility in WEDS to create the form. The WEDS admin staff had to do this in collaboration with the Bureau. And this is something they do all the time, so they're very familiar with how to do this. And then to import that data, we needed an import template. It's basically a field matching template so that we knew what data went where in WEDS. And lastly, we had to initiate the client record or the contact investigation in WEDS. And if you go back to the Ebola use case, the TSA was providing Georgia a list of travelers to monitor. WEDS has another utility that allows you to batch upload those cases. So the burden of creating those investigations was minimized as well. One last thing we had to do to WEDS. We used their form creation utility to create a section on the patient demographics tab. And this was so that we knew who was being self-monitored. So we asked, did the patient qualify for self-monitoring? We collected their email address, collected a monitoring period, and a schedule. So we knew when was the best time to send those emails. Okay. After everything's set up on a regular schedule, then the contact or the traveler in the Ebola case would get an email. It was a very benign email, and it says, thank you for agreeing to participate in a public health project. So, you know, if that email was intercepted, it's not really, it doesn't tell you anything. Clicking on that link then would bring up the form. And you notice the nice graphics on there, same graphics Georgia used. We stole them from the CDC, not Georgia. Very limited data entry on that form. We wanted it to be usable by contacts or travelers who had limited English proficiency. If you clicked on that link and you were outside of your reporting schedule, the link was no longer active. If you got a successful load of the form, you clicked on it in your reporting schedule and submitted it, it automatically went into WEDS. And that's not a typo. Our review process flagged that as a typo. You notice the form is very similar to what you saw on the email link. Now, we created the reporting notification that if somebody failed to report, it would send an email to local public health. We also created a summary email, and this went to local public health nurse investigators, EPIs at the state level. We felt in a large outbreak situation, even though they could go into WEDS and they could look at caseload, they could look at jurisdiction review and see a list of all their patients and click through the patients, it would have been nice to give a summary of those patients that their email bounced back, who reported, who failed to report, who was reporting for the first time, who was reporting for the last time. So that email notification is scheduled at the end of every day. Presented the enhancement, the application to the Bureau of Communicable Disease, and they loved it, and they immediately started thinking of other ways to use it, which is really good. One of those other ways was for a school use case. So a child goes to class, is later diagnosed with a communicable disease, possibly exposing their classmates. They wanted the ability to email parents a form, well, notifying them of a possible exposure, and the form to fill in should their child become symptomatic. And we could do that. Another use case is a public portal for reporting enteric illnesses, foodborne illnesses. They wanted to present a link on their public-facing website to allow Joe Public, who possibly got ill at a restaurant, to report that illness. So those two are definitely doable. A little tweaking that we had to do for the school use case was the token no longer expired on a schedule. The email was good for the duration of the outbreak. As soon as public health closed the outbreak, the email no longer worked. We also wanted parents to be able to submit the form more than once. So if a nervous parent ran upstairs and checked their child as soon as they got the email, said they're fine, submitted a form with no symptoms, the next day the child's sick, they could go back and amend that form and resubmit it. And then lastly, we considered situations where siblings were in the same school, possibly having two emails coming to the parents. We included the child's first name in the email. For the public reporting of enteric illnesses, we'd have to modify the form. We have to include demographic information. We need to, if you're going to be reporting you got sick at a restaurant, there's got to be a little skin in the game. So we wanted to collect name and contact information. We also needed to collect the information of where you got sick. So this, again, this is just a change of the form. And then we had to tweak the notification process again so that when somebody submitted a form now, an alert went out to public health. And then lastly was the jurisdiction assignment. In WEDS, jurisdiction is assigned based on the patient's address. Public health wanted the jurisdiction of the restaurant to do the initial investigations. So those are all very doable. Some of our next steps would be, we have an admin screen, as you'll see in a little bit. This allows the admin staff to upload that form. And then they can, we want to enhance that even more to allow them to configure required fields and field masking. So they can more efficiently stand up new use cases and take the developers out of the loop, making it more timely to implement. We also want to enhance our dashboard creation. We have a dashboard that shows self-reporting clients, but the clients that are being active, or the contacts that are being actively monitored and are not self-reporting, do not show up on that dashboard. It was an oversight on our part. So we're going to include those. So all the clients associated with the outbreak investigation are in the dashboard. And then we have the ability to present this form and the email text in different languages other than English. We need to translate those forms and get that finalized before we can implement. So what's the system agnostic thing? Well, the problem with the enhancement that Georgia developed, which was very good, by the way, is it will only work with the NEDSpace system. And we didn't go right down this route with any intention, but as we developed, we realized that as long as we can read a database and know which clients are being self-monitored, as long as you can create a form in XML format, you can do that in Word, Visio, save as XML, and the application will render that form pretty close to what it looks like in Visio. And then if your surveillance system has the ability to import automatically an API, import API, with a little tweaking, we could feed that system with the data. So this system does not, this application does not depend on its surveillance system to be functional. I had this really cool demo planned, and I was going to engage the audience and have you submit a form and show you a live feed. I can't talk fast enough for the prior slides to get to that point, so we're going to rely on screenshots. This is the school reporting use case. So this is my child record. You notice down at the bottom, this is in WEDS, where it qualifies for reporting. The email's in there. The email looks the same. We didn't tweak that and change that much for this use case yet. We haven't gone into production just yet on this. When you click the link, here's the form. It's very basic, easy to fill out. No graphics on this one, though. And then our admin dashboard, you can see where the self-reporting is registered for the two cases listed there, or the case, one case listed there, it's two reports. The yellow highlighted section, it's a little light on the screen over there, is the reporting period. Red dots with a white X is not, failure to report. Green solid dots are reported with no symptoms. A solid red dot would have been reported with symptoms. And then our admin functions, we have the ability, we can upload a form, as I mentioned before. We also have a list of self-reporting clients that are active, that were in that reporting period. So if, again, in the school use case, parent comes home and their child is not displaying any symptoms, so they delete the email. 2 days later, they call the school, I have to report that my child's sick. We can trigger that email and send that form back out to them. We also have the templates area where we can tweak the email templates so we can change that by disease or by outbreak. So that's pretty much where we're at today. I want to acknowledge some of our sponsors, the Informatic Architecture Development staff, and the WEDS admin staff that helped greatly, and well, the developers built it. So they did most of the work here. And then a special thanks to the Georgia Department of Public Health, who inspired these enhancements. And I think I have a few minutes for questions. Well, I'll be hanging out in the back of the room.
It takes a while to get on their feet, I know. There's at least one person who takes a while to get on his feet.
So, you mentioned the XML and things we think of interoperability. Are you using any of your message processing capabilities like Gravity,
For this application, no. We are using Rhapsody in a lot of Adler applications. You know, we're bringing in ELR feature led into helps and stuff along those lines. This really is homegrown. We try to use tools where possible, but we didn't really have to develop anything for matching because the client is created in WEDS. So in the view is a client ID. So we know when that report comes in, we know it's matched, which is which. So, and then for the school use, or for the public facing enteric form, that's going to create a contact investigation. The focus at that point is still on the restaurant. In the surveillance system, if that becomes a case, then it's a click of the button to turn it into from a contact investigation to a disease incident, and then public health will take it from there. So there's really no need.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it on?
Yeah. But you got to be close to it.
I have to eat it like an ice cream cone. Okay. Just a quick question on, are there built in into the coding and the messaging so that it's not triggering and going into the person's spam or area where they'll actually see it and that they don't have to be concerned cybersecurity-wise? I didn't know what you've built into it to ensure that they see this message.
That's a really good question. And the answer is no, we haven't taken that into consideration. I'm not aware of any way to bypass the spam filters on the receiver's end. However, if somebody does not receive the initial email, it's the trigger to the local health department to follow up. We don't anticipate everybody doing self-reporting. There's going to be some engagement there. So if that first email gets missed and the local health department engages, they can then instruct to check in the spam filters. And
so maybe at the main page where they're doing their self-reporting initially, mm-hmm. to have them a message that says, add this to your, you can anticipate that the message will come in and it will have this label. Because it may look a little, you're trying not to give up personally identifiable information or, trigger suspicion, but at the same time, it might look suspicious.
Well, first, absolutely right. Yeah, for the school use case, we could always include the name of the school. Those templates are very customizable. What we saw here is what our team kind of just came up with, to give it to demo to the bureau. But we could include the name of the school in there. We could change that subject line to be a little less innocuous. But you're absolutely right. It's a work in progress.
Initial email that goes out to a bunch of people that you've got mm-hmm. on the list that you got from closer. Sorry, we've been told this picks up very well at this end, so we can go a little ways away from it. I'm wondering if the first email that goes out is a batch email to everyone on the list, and then that would be more likely to be intercepted by a spam filter than individual emails that goes out to just one recipient. And if that's the case, if you don't hear back from some subset of people who are in the batch, can you have a follow-up email that is an individualized email? Can that all be generated automatically, or does that require manual intervention?
Well, to answer the first question, no, it's not a batch email.
Okay.
To start with, it's individual emails. In testing, we found out that we could crash the server if we sent 20,000 emails a second. So we're not going to be doing that. But it does send individually. There is a bounce back that it tracks. So if they don't get to the recipient, then we know about it. If it gets routed to a spam filter, that's a new problem to solve. Yeah. Anything else?
Please join me in thanking John.